About faith, and not any kind of faith, just, you know, general faith. I want to talk about having faith for the future. How many of you know this? This is the last Sunday of 2019, and we're about to enter into 2020. We're about to enter into a new decade, a new season, a new era, if you will. That, I don't know, it seems like the years are coming fast and furious. But we're about to enter into a new season, and I believe that God has something. But one of the things that we understand that as a pastor and as I talk to people, when we find people who find themselves in a position of fear, it's usually fear over the future, anxiety over what we don't know, worry about what could happen, what's around the corner. Maybe you know, God didn't call us to live with fear and anxiety for the future. He didn't call us to worry about what shoe's going to drop around the corner. He didn't call us to live a life where we have anxiety toward what's to come. Amen? Come on, I know it's the week after Christmas, but you're going to have to be a little bit more verbal than that, right? How many of you have ever found yourself in a position where you fear what you don't know? Maybe you don't know what steps you know. I'm looking over and I see high school and college students over here. I mean, man, their whole life is centered around what they're going to do in the future. It's like everybody keeps asking you, what are you going to do when you grow up? Don't worry, they're still asking me that. I'm still trying to figure it out. But there's a lot of anxiety even coming from this generation about what the future holds for them. How many of you know that that's not God's best? That's not God's design. That's not God's desire. That God has us to wants us to trust Him with our faith for the future. Because the truth is this: no one knows what the future holds. If we can only know what this next year of 2020 is going to bring, that would be awesome, but we don't. Right? Knowledge around the future rests with God and God alone. He's the only one who knows what's happening, what's to come, which, my friends, is why we need to stick very close to Him. Because He's the one who already knows the paths. He's already been there. He knows the way. See, faith in God and His ability is required to successfully thrive. And I'm saying not just to survive. How many of you know we spend too much time trying to just survive? And God is calling us to thrive in the next year. How many of you know thriving is more than surviving? Amen? We're called to be thrivers, not just merely survivors. Amen? I believe that He is faithful to give us specifically what we need for every new season that we enter into in our lives. God would love for our faith for the future to be based on His ability so that we could meet the future with confidence because God is able. Okay, can we all just say that real quick? Say, God is able. We need to remind ourselves of that sometimes, don't we? That's, you know, that was the point of all worship this morning. It seemed like the Holy Spirit was culminating with this point that He is able. God is able to do anything He wants to do. Amen? See, God is able. Because God is able, we can look at the future and meet the future with confidence because He is able. Not because I'm prepared, not because I am able, but because He is able. See, what's required for our side is, or for faith for the future is this, a simple trust that He is able. Amen? See, from man's earliest encounters with God, God proved Himself as the God who is able to do the impossible. We look at some encounters in Scripture, and if you go into Genesis, you see one with an elderly couple of Abraham and Sarah, and in Genesis, and God promises them a son, even though they were well past the age for a son. And in Genesis 18:14, you see this scripture. It says this, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" See, at the appointed time, He said to them, "I will return to you." The angel is speaking to them about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Notice it says this about this time next year. And anybody ever worry about where you're going to be about this time next year? See, what He's saying is, how many of you know really a year in the grand scheme of things? I know when you're younger, a year seems like a very long time. But as you get a little grayer, a year doesn't seem like a very long time. As a matter of fact, it was just Christmas before this Christmas. I mean, it's like we were just there. And there's something about time as it speeds up. And it's amazing to me what God can do in a very short period of time. How can He do it? Because He is able. Amen? Listen, I want to encourage you today. He was speaking to an elderly couple that had no hope for a future. But what he said to them was this: by this time next year, everything's going to be different. In this short period of time, I'm going to turn your fortune around. Amen? In a short period of time, I'm going to turn your mourning into dancing. In a short period of time, in a blink of an eye in the grand scheme of eternity, I'm going to turn your situation around. And it's going to look completely different than it was a year ago. You know, we could even say that this building is a little bit of a reminder of that to us. You know, I mean, those guys that came in here and within 2 weeks did the transformation that we're looking at, that we're still working on. How many of you know? God can change things like that. He can turn the situation around just like that. Amen? So if you're going through it right now, I just want to encourage you, keep trusting him with simple faith. Amen? Because is there anything too hard for God? The Apostle Paul confirms that God is able when he tells us in his letters to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 3:20, he says this: now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Amen? I've discovered that the enemy, he has a time-tested and trusted strategy that he goes back to trap us in a place where our faith becomes ineffective. And let me tell you what that strategy is, and I want you to, everybody, to pay attention. This is what the enemy will do to try to trap you. You guys ready? He'll try to complicate it. He'll try to complicate things. He tries to make things as complicated as possible in our life. But what we have to do and how we have to respond is we have to make sure we keep simplicity in our faith. Simply believe that God is able to do whatever he sets out to do. That he is unlimited in his ability. Amen? Guys, what do we do? When we find ourselves in a position where we begin to have anxiety for the future and what's going to happen, what do? We start to complicate everything. Am I the only person who does this? You don't believe that men complicate things? I'll give you the proof. God gave us 10 commandments. By the time Jesus came, there were 613 amendments to the 10 commandments. Why? Because we complicate everything. We make things harder than it needs to be, and that's the devil's strategy. We play right into it. We make life so much more complicated than it needs to be, when God is all he is asking us to do is to simply trust in his ability. That he is able to do whatever he wants to do. Amen? That he can do it for you. Guys, that's how we have to approach this next year. I want us to approach 2020 saying God is able to do what? Whatever needs to be done. Is there anything too hard for God? Man, they were even telling us, we just read that scripture, they're telling us at the very beginning in Genesis, God was establishing, there is nothing too hard for me. Amen? As we go into this next year, we have to have a simplicity of faith and not allow the enemy to overcomplicate anything. We have to make a decision to not allow any circumstances or facts to become the final determining factor for our future. We have to let our faith in God do that. Let our faith define our future. Amen? Let our faith define our future, not our circumstances, not our situations, not the facts that we're dealing with right now. Because although facts may be facts, God is higher than the facts. Amen? God can bend facts to where he needs them to be. He can move the pieces of the puzzle where he needs them to be. How many of you know God is able? See, God has an intention for us. How many of you know that God has intentions for you? See, God has a good future plan for those of us who seek and trust him. How often do we quote Jeremiah 29:11? Right? Let's look at that scripture, 11 through 13. It says this: for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. See, what's beautiful about that is we always stop the plans part. We don't go to the next part. God has an intention for us. He has an intention to prosper us. He has an intention to do good for us, to bring us to a good place in the future. But also that, then all of a sudden what he goes on and says then is, then you will call on me. Once you understand my intention towards you, you're going to want to be with me, is what he's saying. And you're going to pray to me, and I'm going to listen to you. Hold on. Let's stop right there. You'll call on me, and I will listen to you. How many of you have never felt heard before? How many of you have ever felt overlooked and dismissed? Yet when you call on the one who spoke, and everything you see burst into existence, he will listen to you. I don't think you're as impressed as you should be right now. No, I'm serious. How often do we gloss over these biblical things that we learn in Sunday school? And how often do we forget because somewhere along the way we overcomplicate it? I speak, he listens. I cry out, he hears me. I weep, he knows it. I celebrate, he celebrates with me. And when I talk to him, he wants to tell me the good things he wants to do for me. He wants to tell me that he has a plan, which is great because I have a very loosely held together one in my life. But he has a plan, and it's solid and it's good. And by the way, not only is it a good plan, it's a plan that prospers you and gives you a hope and gives you a future. Amen? How often do we forget the words that are in our scripture? And because of God's intention toward us, we can have a joyful expectation of good. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have a joyful expectation for the new year? Amen? No, I'm serious. Guys, we have to approach this new year. Look, we have two ways we can do this. We can either go into 2020 and we can say, okay, I wonder what horrible things are waiting around the corner. Good luck with that. Ooh, lights just went low. There you go. That was really good timing, by the way. Ooh, things got dark and scary. But the light came back on. Or we can look at 2020 with a joyful expectation. I know my dad has good for me in this next year. Amen? I know in this next season that the Father's going to do something incredible. I know he's going to blow my expectations. He's going to absolutely do incredible things that I can't even think, hope, or imagine. See, God has called us to live with a joyful expectation no matter what the circumstances says. Because truth of the matter is oftentimes we find ourselves in challenging circumstances, but those challenging circumstances do not change the fact that God is good and God is able. So that gets me hope for the future. Faith for the future. Living with a joyful expectation. Looking at the meaning of biblical joy and some thoughts. There was a man named Spurgeon who was a preacher many years ago. He said this, joy is the assurance faith brings that we are accepted by God and that he constantly works for our good on our behalf. Can I say that again? Joy is the assurance faith brings that we are accepted by God. You're accepted. You may not be accepted by anybody else, but you're accepted by God. And he's the only one that matters, by the way. We are accepted by God and that he constantly works for good on our behalf. It's an inner calm produced by confidence in God. This is what joy is. It's untouched by outward circumstances. It's not diminished by pain or by sorrow. Do you know you can be joyful even in the midst of sorrow? It seems like such a oxymoron, doesn't it? But how many of you know God's economy doesn't work like the world's economy? that even in the midst of difficult situations, we can have joy. Because you got to understand, joy is something so much bigger than just stupid happiness. Joy is something so much bigger than just emotional happiness. Joy is something so much more solid than your emotion of the moment. Joy, that's why the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because it's in that moment where you need strength, that when you rely on joy, that is set in a faith that's hopeful with a joyful expectation, that you look to the future and say, it may be bad now, but God is on the job. God is working. God is doing. God is moving. God is speaking. God is maneuvering on my behalf. We just sang about it this morning, didn't we? He never stops working. Amen? See, joy is always a byproduct of faith. And I believe the Lord wants us to face the future with a joyful expectation. I have a clear sense in my heart that the Spirit of the Lord is placing a special emphasis on joy at this time, that He wants everyone to be filled with the joy of His presence. And that's something that I want us as a church body, as we head into this next season, I want us to do so with joy, because I believe that God wants to bring His presence into this place unlike anything that we've seen in years. I believe, guys, listen to me, I'm going to tell you something. I believe that there are challenges ahead, but I believe that God's power is coming in a greater way in this church body. I believe that we're going to see greater miracle signs and wonders. I believe that we're going to experience a deeper sense of joy. I believe that we're going to see people that are going to be coming and that they're going to be seeing their lives turned around, and we get to be a part of it. God is positioning us as a church body to rise up to be a difference maker. And we're not going to do so with frowns on our faces. We're going to do so with a hopeful expectation that God is good. Listen, I want to show our community the goodness of God. Amen? And I want our greatest advertisement to be the people that sit in the chairs every week that go into the highways and the byways with a joyful expectation of good. I would rather have 100 joyful worshipers than all the marketing budget in Wise County. Amen? Because I believe that your life changes other lives. I believe that your joy changes other people. I believe that your faith for the future will rub off on other people. Amen? And in this next year, that's how we're going to approach things. Amen? I'm reminded of David in Psalms, his description of his journey to joy. And he says this, I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Come on, guys, that's something we're going to have to start saying. Amen? Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. See, we can follow the trusted way to true joy. It starts by setting the Lord before us in this year. And in all that we do, it has to start with putting Him first. Whatever you do, do it with Him. From start to finish. Begin with Him, end with Him, and let it be all about Him in the middle. Amen? There's going to be things that fill our days that demand our attention in this year. But I encourage you, in the midst of all of it, continually set the Lord before you. Keep Him with you. Amen? Think of Him often. Make time to sit in His presence daily. Love Him. Share all with Him. You know what's wonderful is you can share your heart with God even though He knows it, but He knows there's something about us telling Him. You know? You know what's great about that? Because there's sometimes you just got to talk. There's sometimes you just have to say what's there, and He's faithful to listen, even though He knows it all. But you know what's great about Him knowing it all? There's some moments where words don't do justice. And you can tell Him without ever saying a word. by just spending time in his presence. Isn't he awesome? Invite him into all you do. Engage yourself in the practice of his presence. Amen? Guys, you have to practice his presence. If you, how many of you are thinking about setting a New Year's resolution? Is anybody actually thinking about that? Have you completely given up hope on those altogether? You know they don't work, right? Right? Yep. I see some of y'all are going to be at the gym, and then you're not. I'm just saying. But I want us to make a commitment, not a resolution. I want us to make a commitment that in this next year, you're going to spend more focused time with the Lord. That you're going to quiet yourself every day and just be in his presence, because joy comes from being with him. Amen? Guys, let's not forget, the whole reason this whole thing started, the whole reason where this big ball is spinning through the universe is because God wanted a people that he could be with. That's it. He wanted a people. He wanted a family. And he enjoys your presence. You guys have heard me say this. He likes us all the time. I don't even like me all the time. And I like me a lot. But he never tires of us. Isn't that awesome? See, if we set the Lord before us at the beginning of this new year, we can be assured that we're not going to be shaken by the uncertainties and the crazy happenings in this world. But rather, we're going to be filled with his joy and we're going to remain unshaken. Amen? See, and Michelle, would you come? I'm going to close in just a quick moment here. You get a short message today. Merry Christmas. It's my gift to you. See, joy is not a loose, you know, standing spiritual item we acquire. It's presented to us as part of his presence. And the thing I want to say, and it's important to remember that, especially coming out of this season. How many of you got some gifts for Christmas? Anybody? Yeah, you can wave at me. It's okay. It's okay to have things. As long as you realize that joy is not things-centered. Joy is not about things. See, too often we start making joy about materials. When I have that house, when I have that car, when I have that thing, whatever it is, you fill in the blank, then I'll experience joy. I want to tell you right now, there's not a single possession on this earth that's going to bring you long-standing joy. Everything wears out, everything fades, everything gets old. The newest, latest, greatest will be outdated within no time. Joy isn't things-centered, and many of us got some new things over this Christmas season. But it's not about the things, amen? Joy is found in a person, in the person of Jesus. Spending time in his presence. He'll guide us through this year, and our souls will be thrilled and filled with joy and hope and delight. Understanding that our souls, being our mind, will, and our emotions, being filled with delight. How many of you know our mind, will, and emotions need the presence of God? Because when we're in his presence, we see things differently. We feel things differently. We think differently. We understand things differently. We have to trust that God will continue to cause us to have an ever-increasing influence on the world and the people around us. And there's no doubt that joyful believers shine the brightest for Jesus. See, there's a dark world out there that needs you to shine. And it's the joyful believers that shine the brightest. Amen? How many of you know somebody who's full of joy changes an atmosphere? Somebody who's full of hope changes an atmosphere. Somebody who's full of life changes the dynamic of a situation. Amen? Let's not be those type of believers that walk in and that speak doom and gloom on everything. Listen, I know some things are going wrong out in the world. I get it. It's easy to look around and say the world is coming apart. and things are falling apart. But I'm going to tell you right now, it takes no special talent to criticize. And I'm guilty of that, aren't you? Of talking about the doom and gloom. But if we're really going to make a difference, we need to be people that walk into every season and every situation so full of joy because we've been in His presence that they begin to look at us and say, there's something different about them. And because they're in my life, things are better. And because they showed up, things changed. And because they're here, there's hope. My prayer is that Rise Church, that we would be carriers of hope, carriers of joy everywhere we go. As we come into this next year, that we can face the year with a joyful expectation. Amen? That we shine bright for Jesus, that His glorious joy in us attracts people to Jesus and shows them the way to Christ. Is your life a road sign to Jesus, or is it a hindrance? I don't want my life to hinder anybody from seeing Jesus. Amen? I want my life to be so full of joy that it attracts people to who He is. Amen? My prayer is that the joy you receive from living in His presence daily will cause you to shine. How do we do that? This year, we have to have the same kind of response that to God that Mary showed when she was told that she was going to give birth to the Messiah. You know, it's interesting. I'm going to close with this today. Mary was a teenage girl. Depending on the scholars, you could figure she was between the ages of probably 15 and 17, most likely 17 years old. Which is crazy to think in our society. And the Lord speaks to this incredible young lady. And an angel appears and begins to tell her that I've got a plan for your life. And I've chosen you because you love me and because you trust me and because you shine. She was remarkable. And the Lord spoke to her and said, you're going to be the one who brings the Messiah into the world. I've got a plan for you, and in this plan, great things are going to come. But how many of you know that as He's speaking to this young lady, that her world was about to be radically changed forever? That God's plan was good. Somebody say amen. But it was not without trouble. She was going to be accused of all sorts of things. She was going to be called all sorts of names. She was going to have to be a potential outcast. She was going, little did she know, she was going to have to raise a son. Watch him become the hope of the world and sit at the foot of a cross while he paid a price. But she knew that there was something good. Amen? Even with the trouble, even with the uncertainty, even with the things that she couldn't predict and she didn't understand. This angel speaks to her and she gives this response. And I pray that when the Lord speaks to us, I pray that this would be our response. Let's look in Luke chapter 1, verse 37 and 38. Let's have this type of response that says, for God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. And then the angel departed. Man, what brave words from a 17-ish-year-old girl. Amen? This young woman, so full of life, and she, when the Spirit of the Lord speaks to her and says, I've got a plan, and it's good. And she says, then let it be so. Let it be to me according to your word. Let my life be filled with joy. Let my life shine. Let your purpose settle in my life as you have spoken. That's powerful. She didn't know what the future held, but her faith for the future was remarkable. Amen? Let us respond the same way, church. God, I don't know. You know the future. All I know is I trust your intention toward me. I trust that you're going to do good. So whatever you have in store, God, let it be unto me according to your word. You speak, I'll do.